Good morning, Crossway. Good to share with you this morning. As we come to open up God's word this morning, wherever we are around Melbourne, in lockdown, around the country, around the world, can I just invite you to pause for just 1 minute this morning? Just been reading of a young journalist sharing her story, young female in hiding in Kabul in Afghanistan as the Taliban advanced that city. A city where hope is fading, a country in chaos. And my heart breaks for the people of Afghanistan this morning, and I feel helpless. And my only prayer is, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christian leaders getting text messages, we know where you live. Young women getting text messages, we are coming for you. Lockdown causes us inconvenience. But will you join me in prayer this morning as we come to God's word for a broken world where justice is needed? Let's pray together. Father God, this morning, we would pray that prayer that we've heard many times before, break our heart for the things that break yours. Father God, we pray for a broken world this morning. We pray for a world where we see 40 million people in slavery, and we know that your word says that is not right. And so you challenge us, you beckon us to pursue justice. We pause today. We lament today. We pray, Lord, have mercy on the beautiful people of Afghanistan today in the midst of horror. In the midst of whatever we face today, we pray, Lord, may your spirit reign afresh in our lives. And we thank you that you are with us. And as we open your word this morning, we pray, Holy Spirit, speak to us. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There were many great moments at the Olympic Games. But one of the magical moments for us in Australia was the story of Peter Boll, the young Sudanese-Australian runner who enchanted the nation in three 800-metre runs, finishing fourth in the Olympics. But such a beautiful story. But as we celebrate Peter Boll, as we celebrate as Aussies who love sport, that great story, we have to understand the backstory. I wrote a blog about it last week. You know, Peter Boll and his family fled war-torn Sudan as asylum seekers. They fled by boat. They fled by boat to Egypt, where thankfully they weren't locked up and imprisoned as asylum seekers, but where they were given the opportunity to come to Australia to resettle, to find a new home, to find freedom, to find opportunity. And behind the Peter Boll story is the beauty of neighbourhood, of community, of partnership, of justice. As people came alongside Peter, as people came alongside his family, an ethnic group who still is so often targeted with racism in our country that is wrong. But thankfully, others came around the Boll family in that Sudanese community in Western Australia, and Peter Boll was given opportunity. People like Helen Lay, his schoolteacher, the beautiful story. She's got to fill a place in a 400-metre school race. And a student says to her, well, Peter can run. She doesn't even know Peter very well. She recruits Peter to the race, and Peter wins the 400 metres by about 100 metres. And she sees something in this boy, more than a good runner. And she goes out of her way to bring her dad into the story. And her dad, the late Brian Moore, becomes Peter's coach. And this beautiful story, as Brian comes to Peter's family, a Sudanese family resettling in Australia, and he says, I'd like to coach your son. But listen, he says, I'd like to coach your son not because he may be a great runner. I'd like to coach your son because he seems to be a beautiful human being, and I want to see his potential maximised. At the heart of the story, neighbourhood, at the heart of the story, community, at the heart of the story, justice, at the heart of the Peter Boll story, partnership, and the difference we can make in the lives of human beings when we partner together for what is right and for what is good. Today we come to celebrate partnership. We come to celebrate our partnership with International Justice Mission. We come to celebrate the privilege of serving with them as a church at Crossway. In some ways, we would rather not have the partnership because we would rather not live in a world where more than 40 million people are enslaved, where more than 40 million people, kids, young people, women, men, where more than 40 million people are entrapped in slavery. But the reality is that is the facts today. It breaks the heart of God. It should break ours. And we support and embrace our partnership afresh with International Justice Mission today. We remind ourselves that two-thirds of the world do not have access to legal and judicial systems that we take for granted here in Australia. We recognise the incredible horror of people being trapped in sex slavery, people being trapped on boats in Thailand to fish to give us the tuna that we pay for so cheaply in our country today. We see the impact of the slave trade economically across the world. And so as we celebrate our partnership with International Justice Mission today, we come back to ask ourselves afresh, what does God say to us about pursuing justice, about pursuing what is right and good in a beautiful but broken world? The prophets are clear. The prophets are clear in what is God's heartbeat, in what is God's call. Amos 5, in the Message translation, put away your worship, put away your instruments, put away your pretentious slogans and your image making. And Amos, so powerfully to God's people, do you know what I want? I want justice. I love this. Oceans of it. I want fairness. Rivers of it. Oceans of it. Rivers of it. This picture of expanse, this picture of God's heart for justice, for what is right for other human beings. Isaiah, again, the prophet. Isaiah 1:17. Learn to do good. Work for justice. Help those pushed to the edges. Stand with the homeless. Go into bat for the defenseless. The call of the prophet to justice. Micah, what is God looking for? Met the Message translation. It's quite simple. Men and women who act justly, who live compassionately, who are loyal in their love. The prophet's call of old is the call to us. It's a biblical call for us today, for every one of us. It's at the heartbeat of mission. Sadly, at times, we can still separate what we might say is evangelism or disciple-making in our culture and acts of justice, social justice, acts of kind of loving compassion. And it's good, it's part of our DNA to remind ourselves at Crossway that they're integral, that that you can't separate them. That to be a people of mission is to be a people of word and a people of deed. A people of word and loving action, a people of word and justice. They go together. It's the biblical call to act justly. What's justice mean? What's it mean for us? It's a word that we hear so often, but what does it mean in the scriptures? If we kind of pull the word apart in its simplest form, in the scriptures, to act justly is to make right. Dave and his team at IJM that we've heard from this morning, as they pursue justice around the world, as they seek to bring an end to slavery, what are they saying? They're saying, well, slavery is not right in the kingdom, and so we want to do something about it. We want to make something wrong right. That's what justice is. In the scriptures, we're called to, of course, be made right with God. We do that, of course, through our personal relationship with Jesus, available all of us today, a loving God who wants to be in a right relationship with us to make that relationship right. He wants us to be in a right relationship with each other, with our neighbours, our friends, our community, people around the globe as kingdom citizens. We seek reconciliation to make things right and to be made right with creation. It's why we care about people, and God's people are called to care for the planet. To act justly is to join God at work in the world. I don't step out to do justice on my own. I step out to pursue justice because God, a just God, is already at work in my world. God's heart breaks for Afghanistan today. God's heart breaks for people in slavery today. God's heart breaks for the woman down the street who might be experiencing domestic violence, or the asylum seeker stuck in community detention, longing for people to bring hope into their life. Justice is to make things right in Jesus' name. It's to pursue shalom. It's to provide a foretaste of the kingdom yet to come, where there'll be no more suffering or slavery, where an organization like IJM won't be required, or an organization like Baptist World Aid won't be required, or ARC, our love and justice partners who do so much good in the local community and across the world. We yearn for that day when there'll be no more suffering or tears or injustice. But in the meantime, we're called to model the heart of God and in partnership with others to act justly. Proverbs 28:5 is a challenging verse, and I often come back to it. In Proverbs 28 verse 5, we're reminded that the ungodly can be satisfied with injustice and oppression. The ungodly can get on with their life and see it around them and not worry about it. But Proverbs 28:5 says, but the godly kind of grow in their pursuit of justice. The godly grow because their heart is constantly changed by the fact that God is at work in our lives. Can I pause and invite us to just reflect on that today? If you want your heart to break more for the things that break the heart of God, then we actually need the Holy Spirit to be at work in our lives. We actually need the Holy Spirit to be cultivating us into people who look and live and love more like Jesus. You see, when I operate in my kind of sinful, selfish state, I might even close my eyes to things around me. I might close my eyes to injustice. It can become too hard, or it can be inconvenient. I need God's Spirit to be at work in my life, growing me in godliness. And then you jump to the New Testament, and what does Paul say? Godliness is looking more like Jesus. Put it together. As we grow in our relationship with Jesus, so our heart to live, to act justly, will grow. It's an act of discipleship. It's an act of obedience. So this morning, let's ask ourselves practically, what does justice look like? Yeah, it's one thing to say we support international justice mission, or I want to be a person who acts justly, but what does it look like? What does it look like when the rubber hits the road? What does it look like in my everyday life? I want to very quickly bring us back to Luke chapter 10 this morning. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read the passage, but I'll kind of share bits of it as we move forward this morning. Luke 10. You'll know the story well, many of you, the story of the Good Samaritan. You might be watching today, and you might not be a regular in terms of attending church. You might have found us online, but you may have even heard the story yourself, the story of the Good Samaritan. It could be called the story of the Christ-like neighbor. Could be called the story of the just person. Jesus provides a beautiful story, but in the culture of the day, a scandalous story. Don't lose sight of that. A scandalous story to teach us something about what justice looks like when the rubber hits the road. This young man comes to Jesus and, in a kind of word game, tries to trap Jesus. He wants Jesus to say something that he might kind of grab hold of that and trap him about what does it look like to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and love your neighbor. And he says, what's my neighbor look like? And then Jesus tells the story. There was a man, Jesus says, who was traveling from between Jerusalem and Jericho on that very dangerous road. It was called the Strip of Suffering. And Jesus symbolically paints this picture, if you like, of suffering, of brokenness, of injustice. And here is a man who's been beaten up along the strip. There were bandits, there were robbers, there were people who would attack people as they traveled between the two towns. It was a dangerous road to journey on. And Jesus paints this picture of a Jewish man who has been beaten up and kind of left to die in a ditch on the side of the road. I've spoken about this passage here at Crossway before. It's a passage that God's Spirit keeps bringing me back to, that I might kind of dig into it more and more and more and see the layers of this beautiful but scandalous story. So here's a man on the side of the road. He's been attacked. He's been left to die. A picture of injustice, of brokenness, a man in the ditch. And Jesus then wants to challenge us and encourage us with the story in terms of how we respond to the man in the ditch. First and foremost this morning, we're reminded that we have to move beyond talk. If we're going to act justly, we're going to do more than talk. You see, set the story up. This young man comes and he wants to talk to Jesus. He wants a theological discussion. He's not actually interested in justice. He's interested in a theological discussion. And then the two people who Jesus will paint the picture of that we expect should stop to help the man in the ditch don't. But they were well-versed in the scriptures. They were well-versed in the Torah. They were well-versed in knowing that they should have stopped to help the man in the ditch. They could talk about justice, but they failed to act. And I think Jesus wants to challenge us in this passage. Whether it's in relationship to my neighbour, the person down the street, my work colleague, person on the other side of the world. It's one thing to talk about justice, but Jesus says we've got to go beyond talk. We've got to act. And that brings us to the second point in the story. If we're moved beyond talk, we have to be moved to listen. To listen to the cries of those suffering with injustice, be that across the street or over the world. We've got to be moved to listen to the cries. Because here's a man in a ditch and he's been left, Luke says, half dead. and he's crying out, "Help me, help me." We hear the cries. Proverbs 21 verse 13 says, "If we ignore the cries of the poor and the oppressed, then God doesn't hear our prayers, our cries." I find that incredibly challenging. If I don't listen to the cries of those suffering from injustice, then God doesn't hear my cries, my prayer. So who's in the ditch today? Who's in the ditch around the world today? 40 million people trapped in slavery, and we might think that's a huge number and what can we do about it? We can seek to help International Justice Mission to bring change, systemic change, and we'll talk a little bit more about that this morning. Or it could be the 80 million people who are displaced around the world, who've had to flee their homes and their country because of war or famine, refugees, asylum seekers around the world. It could be first Australians with the report coming out over recent weeks of the fact that we're failing to close the gap of disadvantage in so many Indigenous communities, and how might we respond to that as a church, as a people, as a nation? It could be people pushed to the margins with mental health challenges, people who have been stigmatized, crying out for help. It could be a young man, a young woman grappling with their sexuality and who just need to know that they are loved by God and that they are cared for by the church. It could be someone homeless in our own suburb. It could be the woman down the street suffering from domestic and family violence, and the fact that we might be that person's only help. And thank God for our ministries like Life Care and Coach. We've got to be moved beyond talk. We've got to be moved to listen, to close our mouths, to open our ears, to say, "God, open my heart that we might see. Who is in the ditch? And what is God's call on my life? And God's call on yours will be different to mine. But Jesus says, the scriptures say, don't ignore the cries of those in need. We're moved beyond talk, we're moved to listen, and then we're moved beyond our comfort zone. You see, here's the radical part of this story. Two religious men who know what is right, who know what the scriptures say, who were expected to stop, they walk by. There's the man in the ditch, but two religious men walk by. Why? Were they frightened of being attacked themselves? They were too busy. It was too hard. A whole lot of things that we could unpack in the story, but they walk by. But then the radical part of the story, a Samaritan who the Jews called dogs, a Samaritan, the most unlikely, an ostracized man, a man on the margins, a man the Jews hated, a Samaritan walks along and he sees a neighbor in the ditch who happens to be of a different ethnic origin, but he looks beyond that because he sees need. He hears the cries and then he acts. He moves beyond his comfort zone. He risks his very own life to care for this man, despite what was happening around him. Beautiful story. Go and read it today. And what do we see? We see the Samaritan man saw him. His heart went out to him. He offered first aid. He disinfected his wounds. He applied bandages. He picked him up. He put him on his donkey. He made him comfortable and he took him to a place of respite. That's justice when the rubber hits the road. That's justice in the everyday world. That's opening our eyes and our hearts and our lives to hear the cries of those around us. That's what International Justice Mission are doing. It's what Baptist World Aid do. It's what ARC do, our love and justice partners, seeing people in the ditch and seeking to make a difference. And as we move beyond our comfort zones, very quickly this morning, can offer you these two thoughts. When we move beyond our comfort zones practically, there is choice and there is voice. Choice and voice. We choose to make a difference. We choose to realign our priorities. We choose to make lifestyle decisions. We choose how we spend our money. We choose hospitality. We choose who we invite to our table. We choose what we do with a spare room in our house. We make choices. We choose what brands we buy at the shop, what labels of food we eat, what coffee we buy, what clothes we wear. We make choices. We make choices. At times, ones that aren't very hard to make at all, maybe sometimes ones like this man in the story that risk us, that cost us, but we make choices. Over the last decade, Megan and I have chosen that we will open up our house to others who are not like us. And you know what? We are so much the better, so much the richer from having had asylum seekers and refugees and students and young people and most recently a beautiful Indigenous boy live in our home because they have taught us far more about what the world looks like. They have taught us far more about life. They've taught us far more about justice than we could ever learn elsewhere. It's about choice. And it's about voice. This man becomes a voice for the man in the ditch. He becomes a voice for the broken. He chooses to be a voice for the voiceless. We're called to be a voice. We're called to be a voice for those entrapped in slavery. We're called to be a voice for people in need across the street and across the world. We're called to be heard. And in being called to be heard, we respect difference. We agree at times that when we embrace issues of justice, it will cut across theology and politics, and we'll do that respectfully, but we'll be heard. We'll write to our local politician. We'll stand up for someone who needs help. We'll use social media in a positive but constructive way to share concerns. We will be the voice. The prophets called us to justice because the prophets were called by God to be a voice, a prophetic voice. And we're called through the same. We're called to enter into a broken world to be that prophetic voice of the kingdom yet to come. That's what International Justice Mission are doing. It's what Christian organizations do across the globe. They enter into a broken world to be a prophetic voice of what is yet to come. to look at evil and say, that is wrong. Justice in Jesus' name says, this is what it should look like, and we will pursue that. One life at a time, one community at a time, one issue at a time, to bring about hope and change. We're called to move beyond talk. We're called to listen. We're called to enter into uncomfortable places, to move beyond our comfort zone, to roll up our sleeves and get our hands dirty, to enter into brokenness and injustice in Jesus' name. We're called to invest. This man had to put his hand in his pocket. A Samaritan puts his hand in his pocket and pays for the care of this Jewish man. Justice will cost us. A God who loves the world so much would give his only son to be nailed to a tree in the ultimate expression of love and justice. Pursuing justice in Jesus' name will always cost us something. It may cost us financially. It cost this man in the story something financially. He invested in the need. He came to an issue of injustice and realized that he had to open up his wallet. Today, we have the opportunity to invest in the development of a Southeast Asian hub with IJM. We have the opportunity to invest financially into a project that will bring systemic change to our neighbours in Southeast Asia, where people will be freed from slavery, but more than that, where justice systems and police and courts and government and local community leaders will be trained and systems will be transformed, where evil will be broken down and where justice systems will grow that will put an end to slavery. Yes, it's wonderful to see one or two people rescued or dozens rescued, and we celebrate that, but systems need to change. And so today, can I invite you to consider how you might prayerfully and generously financially invest in our partner International Justice Mission, and we'll be given an opportunity later in the service as we close to see how we can do that in terms of where we can go and how we can invest. And finally today, we're moved to partnership. We're moved to partnership. We're moved beyond talk. We're moved to listen. We're moved to go beyond our comfort zone. We're moved to invest. And finally, we're moved to partnership. The man takes his friend, the neighbor, out of the ditch. He puts him on a donkey and he takes him to a local inn, to a place of respite. And he says to the innkeeper, partner with me, join with me in addressing this man's needs. They partner together in brokenness. They partner together to act justly, to do what is right as good neighbors, as good citizens. We celebrate partnership today. We celebrate our partnership with International Justice Mission. We celebrate our partnership with Baptist World Aid and with ARC as Love and Justice Partners. We're thankful for the great work of Life Care and Coach, all together seeking to act justly. But today we focus in on IJM. And can I invite you, Crossway Community, let's be thankful for their great work today. And let's see how we can play a part in supporting them, in investing in their work to eradicate modern slavery around the world. You see, what we do when we join with others, we recognize that we can't do it on our own. Scott Pilgrim can't do it on my own. My family can't do it on our own. You can't do it on your own. Crossway can't. What do? We embrace the biblical vision of being kind of co-workers, of partners, and we join with others, and together we partner with God. That's the ultimate expression. We partner with God to see a better world. The kingdom now and the kingdom not yet. One life at a time, one family at a time, one community at a time. One tuna farmer, one enslaved farmer on a boat who might be set free, one courtroom, one rescue centre, one slave trader who might be brought to justice, one cabinet table in Southeast Asia where corrupt systems might change. One young Aboriginal kid in Central Australia who might see his dreams and dignity raised. One woman down the street who might be freed from domestic and family violence. One homeless man in our local city of Whitehorse who might see the love of God through the programs that we run. One young woman grappling with her sexuality who needs to hear that she is loved by God and embraced by the church. One community around the world struggling today with suffering and pain where we can enter in to make a difference. One life at a time. One life at a time. We're moved beyond talk. We're moved to listen. We're moved beyond our comfort zone. We're moved to invest. We're moved to partnership. We're moved that our heart might be broken by the things that break the heart of God. And that might be your starting point today. In lockdown, with everything happening around us, where so often I can do this, I can focus on my circumstances, I can focus on my challenges, I can focus on my needs, I know that. But today, may we lift our sights, may God stir within us again the needs of people around us, over the street and across the world. This morning, my girls were out the back of our house. They were jumping on the trampoline. They were laughing. They were shouting out. They were experiencing life and freedom. At the same time, I read about young women fleeing to hide in Kabul, fearing for their lives and their future. In a broken world, we're called to open our ears and open our eyes and open our hearts that we might see justice, that we might pursue justice, that we might act justly. Jesus tells the story and he finishes and he says to the man who tried to trap him, well, who is the neighbor? And the man says, well, it was the man who showed compassion. It was the man who pursued justice. And Jesus says, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. When Peter Boll finished the 800 metre race and he finished fourth and we saw that beautiful smile on our TV screens across the nation, he said this. He said, just remember that we're all human after all. We're all human after all. Around the world today, there are humans who live with injustice and we can make a difference in our lives. One life at a time, $1 at a time, one day at a time. May we be a people who in Jesus' name seek to bring hope and shalom to a broken world. Let's pray together. Father God, break our hearts with what breaks yours. Break our hearts with what breaks yours. And Holy Spirit, lead us to do something practical today. Lead us to take action today. Lead us to make a difference today. Lead us to do one thing today in your name, that brings hope and light and justice to a beautiful but broken world. And we thank you for International Justice Mission and our partnership with them. We pray strength and grace for them as they serve this broken world. God bless you, Crossway. We work